Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Songs we know, and then the grandkids got songs that we don't know. Used to, everybody had a common songbook. Johnny Cash wrote down a whole list of songs for his daughter Roseanne. He said, "You need to know all these songs from American history." One of the most important things you can do when you come together is sing. Sing. More people remember parts of a song than they will remember verses of Scripture. Most people get their theology from the hymn book instead of the Bible. And there's nothing wrong with that. When I got saved, I was a welder, and I was welding one day, and I only knew one song. I was 25 years old, and I only knew part of one song, and I'd flip my helmet, and I'd strike that rod, and I'd say, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And I'm singing. You know, you got the leathers on, and it's hot, and it's nasty, and I'm singing. And I flipped my hood up one day, and the guy's standing there. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm singing." He said, "Stick to welding. Nobody really wants to hear me sing." But that's the only song I knew. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And singing is so important. Jesus, on the worst night of his life, what did he do? He met with his friends. They shared the Passover meal. Then the Bible says they sang a hymn. I hear Jesus sing, don't you? You know, a lot of people say when I sing, it kind of sounds like Elvis. Sound like I've been dead 40 years. It doesn't really, really come out the way I planned it. But, you know, I like old Elvis. I like, oh, who I really like. I like the old Merle Haggard and oh, Hank Williams. But I want to hear my Lord sing. And if I don't forget it, and I'm pretty forgetful, but you know, a good thing about heaven is heaven lasts how long? How long does heaven last? That's a long time, isn't it? I ain't never been there, but I hear that's a long time. It's kind of like some of my sermons. Oh, they just go on forever. But I want to hear our Lord sing. And I believe I will. I believe if he sang down here, he's going to sing up there, don't you? You need to keep a song in your heart. Moses, he went and got all the people out of Egypt. He said, "Y'all, come on, follow me." And they said, "Where are you going?" He said, "We're going over to the promised land." They said, "Well, good. We're glad. We're tired of being slaves over here. Let's go." And he went to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." And what Pharaoh said? "No." And he went back and Pharaoh said, "No." And he went back and he went back and he went back. In between each time he went back, what happened? Different plague hit the land. Finally, Pharaoh said, "I've had it. Get out of here." So they take off, boop, 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 boop. They go across, and then Pharaoh changes his mind. That's what I like about God. God doesn't change his mind, children. Amen? If it's in this book, if God wrote it 1,500, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, it's still true. Amen? Now, you can read the paper. Oh, you know, did y'all hear we had an election here lately? I heard them the other day. They said, "Oh, this party's going to sweep all over that party. They're going to run them out of the country." And then it didn't happen. All these smart people. And it didn't happen. Why? Because they're just people. If you want the truth, you don't go to a person. You go to God. Amen? And go to God's Word. And what God says is true then, it's true now, and it'll be true tomorrow. Moses said, "I'm going to take them over here. We're going to have a little holiday." And Pharaoh, he said, "Oh." And he took off after them. You ever had the devil on your trail? You ever had hard times just chasing you? Looking at the rearview mirror, Why was these policemen get rid of them blue lights? Every time they come on, my knee goes up so fast it hits me in the chin. I get it off that accelerator, you know. Ooh! My wife said, "You speeding?" I said, "Not now. Not now. Not now." Look in the rearview mirror. Here comes Pharaoh. And they come in. They got all the chariots. They got the soldiers. They got arms. They got arrows. They got swords. And what did the bunch of slaves have? The jewelry they stole from all the Egyptians. You know, jewelry's nice, but it's not good to fight with, is it? And my wife will fight you for hers. And they got right up to the edge of the Red Sea. And they looked out. They said, "Oh, it's big and it's deep." And they looked back, and there's Pharaoh, and he's mad. Whew. Wow. You ever had days like that? When what ahead in front of you didn't look good and what behind you looked worse. We've all been there. You talk about these grandkids. We got grandkids. We got grandkids, you know, and you try to do things different. And I tried to, what's that called? You child-proof your house, you know. But it didn't do any good. She opened the door and let them in anyway. I had that door locked. I saw them coming. Listen. They got there, and Moses said, "Lord, you know, we got a problem here. And I want to tell you something. Listen very carefully to me. Whatever you're facing in life, hand it to God. Hand it to God. I don't care what it is. Hand it to God. Hand it to God. Whether it's a blessing, you say, thank you, God, for it. Whether it's a hard time, you say, God, help me get through it. Whether it's confusion time, you say, God, I don't understand it. Whatever you're facing, hand it to God. So Moses said, "Lord, I'll let you take this." Lord said, "That ain't no problem." And he just did this. That's why I like this church. You know why I like this church building? Why I like this church building? You got a center aisle. Nothing should come between a soul and the altar of God when you come into this church. Amen? I don't like a church that got pews in the middle and you got to walk around. When you come there, you got direct access to God. Moses standing there and he said, "Lord, you take care of this." Moses said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Now you get on over there and watch." So what'd they do? They walked through the Red Sea. I thought about that. We were at the beach, and I thought, I think I'll just walk out there and see how far God separates that ocean, how far out I can walk. Got my toe in it. It was cold, and I said, "Well, I don't have that much faith." I went back. But you can you imagine walking that wall of water? I don't know if they could see the fish or not. Some of them might have reached in and grabbed one and said, "I'll have that for lunch." They get over on the other side. They look back. Pharaoh says, "If they did it, we can do it. Come on, boys." And they took off. Truth of it is, you can't outrun your problem. I can't outrun my problem. When I was young, out of the army, I was doing a lot of things I shouldn't do. Somebody said, "Brother Jim," they didn't call me Brother Jim, and they said, "Jim, you're going to kill yourself if you don't slow down." I said, "All right." So I just packed up and moved. I moved all the way down to Florida, just like that. Put a few clothes in the car and drove off. In less than a month, I had the same group of friends down there that I had up there. I was doing the same stupid stuff. You can't outrun your problems. You got to let God take care of them. Moses and them had tried to leave Pharaoh behind. Pharaoh came after him. I'm going to guarantee you, your troubles will chase you down like a bloodhound. They'll go after you and after you and after you, and you can't throw them off your scent. You got to let God put them under the blood and take it all away. Amen. So Moses, he gets over on the other side, and he looks back, and he says, "Oh," and all Pharaoh's army goes out there. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. I believe in reading the Bible just like it says. The Bible to me is not just a book with a bunch of words on it. It's an experience that God put it in here, and He wants you to feel it and me to feel it. Amen? When you read that story, you ought to have the fear that Moses had when he looks back there and sees Pharaoh coming after him. And then you ought to have the awesome wonder of God when God brings you through these problems. Then you got more fear when you look back and say, God, you left the door open. They're coming in. They're coming after us. They all drowned. Wow. Now, what would you do if that happened to you? What would be your first reaction? You know what Moses did? What's the first thing Moses did? He sang a song. You see old Moses, the old long beard, the long hair. You know, he looks kind of like Charlton Heston. You know what he looks like. Got that long hair. And he sings a song, and the song is for us. And Moses and the children of Israel sang this song. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to remember it, it's Exodus chapter 15. They sang a song. They sang a song unto the Lord. That's why I love having all these kids here singing. That's why I'll ask you, what's your favorite song? You love to sing. I love to sing. The trouble is, I don't know the words to a whole song. So I just mix and match. I might start off with country and go into rock and roll and then wind up in the gospel somewhere. I don't know. But I'm just singing. And Moses is there, and Moses and the children of Israel sang a song. Oh, 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 oh. And this is important. I want you to realize this. One thing is wrong with the church today. What's one thing wrong with the church today? We're too timid. We turn Jesus into a wimp. We talk, oh, God loves all people. Well, that's true, but God says not all people are going to go to heaven. We just concentrate on this peace and love and goodness. Well, the same Jesus that preached love told the Pharisees what? You're a bunch of empty tombs. You're just full of dead men's bones. Well, that's not the way to win friends and influence enemies, is it? But it's the truth, and the church needs to speak the truth. We've got people believing today, oh, no, it's all going to be all right. God's going to wink and blink and ignore the whole thing. God's never going to wink at sin. God is going to judge sin. And if you got somebody you love that's living in sin and you hadn't told them that they ought to turn away from that, you've sinned against that person. He said, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'd rather hurt their feelings than have them hurt in hell for all eternity. Amen? Oh! One famous preacher said in his church, we don't talk about sin. It just makes people feel bad. Well, you ought to feel bad if you're a sinner, amen? You ought to feel bad if you're a sinner. The trouble is, today, we're living in a society where sin is promoted, and you're told to agree with it and smile, and our own government is promoting all kinds of wicked lifestyles, but I won't get into that. You know, you can do anything today except an evangelistic-type Christian. They don't want that. Moses said, oh, God is strong, verse 2, oh, God is strong. And then he says, and the Lord, in verse 3, is a man of war. Are you a warrior for Christ? You're fighting the battle. First of all, you have to fight the battle on your own behalf. Not to get saved, that's taken care of on the cross. Amen? I don't do anything to get saved. As Adrian Rogers, that great preacher who's gone to be with the Lord now, he said, I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes of my life to earn me a way into heaven. And I wouldn't trust the best five. Adrian was three times better than me. He but 15. I wouldn't trust the best thing I've ever done is an example of why God let me in. The only reason I can go to heaven is one reason. I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Amen. And you and I need to tell people that. Our God is a man of war. I don't serve some wimpy God, some limp-wristed God, some God who's afraid to hurt people's feelings. I serve the God who made man, woman, heaven, earth, and all that we see. Amen. And I serve the God that's one day going to judge the quick and the dead. Listen. The Bible says, fear God. That means two or three things. One, it just fear God. Be afraid of Him. The other fear is reverence and respect Him. How many people do you know use God's name every day as a cuss word? They're not embarrassed. GD this and GD that, are they? And yet we're ashamed to bow our heads and pray for our meal. Listen. If you want to be a godly man or a godly woman, you got to have a little fight in you. You got to have a little temper in you. You got to have this desire to please God and not people. Now, all around us, there are people. They're going to die. And they're going to live here all their life in the Bible Belt. Oh, in Tennessee, where we got a church at every crossroads. And y'all still got me confused. Longview Church, but you're not on Longview Road. How'd that happen? Well, we'll talk about that later. How many people do you know all around never go to church? I was the other side of War Trace one day, had a man in church with me, and we went up the hill, and he said, my uncle lives there. I said, oh, I said, where does he go to church? He said, he's nearly 80, he's never been in a church building in his life. For no reason. You know people who are getting crushed by the enemy. Would you go sit with them and pray with them? You know people that are just living like the devil, have you ever told them there's a better way? There's another way. That's what God left us here for. Moses said, what? Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. And what did God tell us to do? What's one thing God told all of us to do? Put on the whole armor of God. Why do you put armor on? You don't put armor on to go to bed. You don't put armor on to go swimming. You don't put armor on to go watch a ball game. You put armor on when you're going into a battle. Amen? We fight a battle. Your pastor's fighting a battle. A little bitty thing, you can't even see a germ, a burr, a bug, a bacteria, whatever it is. Your pastor's a big man. A little thing can bring down a big man. Little things bring down people all around us. What some people don't have that you've got is hope. If you go tell them that Jesus can save anybody, anytime, anywhere. Amen? Oh, listen. Song leader at Calvary is a boy named Thibodeau. Thibodeau, that's a good southern name, isn't it? Well, he is from Louisiana. And his father has started, I forget how many churches, and his grandfather started over 30 Baptist churches. One day a man came into the church, and he was a Houma Indian. And he owned the biggest bar in that area, and they had gambling there. They did drugs there. They had prostitution there. They had it all in that place. And that man, that Houma Indian man, was the head boss of the whole crime in that area. Brother Thibodeau's grandfather talked to him about Jesus, and he came to church that Sunday, got on his knees, and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he got up from that church, and he got up with tears in his eyes, and he said, I want everybody to come with me. The bar was right down the street. I want everybody in this church to come to my bar right now. They all, what? He said, no, I want everybody here. Come on, come on. And they all walked down to the bar, and he opened it up. He said, now take every bit of alcohol you can find and pour it into the bayou. And they emptied everything in that bar, and he locked the door and said, no more. That's what God can do, amen? But not unless somebody tells them. It's your job, my job, to go to war against Satan. Well, we don't have to go ourselves. I mean, by ourselves. We go in the power of God with the dwelling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you, y'all got a reputation. This is one good church in this whole association. But I challenge you. Like I want everybody to know, we can all do better, can't we? Wouldn't it be nice if it was standing room only on prayer meeting night? Oh, that'd be nice. Don't you love to hear people sing? Well, I'm going to tell you. Moses sang, and you should sing. The Bible said in Isaiah that God will put a new song in your heart. And that new song is what? I think one of them mentioned it. Jesus loves you. This I know. I'm glad I got my hearing aids. Bible tells you and the Bible tells me, then we ought to go tell our neighbor. We ought to go tell our neighbor. Do it in love. And if you tell them that they're going to hell, I want you to know this, you better be telling them with a tear in your eye. Don't be saying, well, you're going to hell and I'm glad of it. No, 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 no. God's not glad of it. God sent his own son to die that people could avoid that place. If you got to say the truth, say it in love. But say it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to pray for Brother Jonathan, his wife, his family, his kids, his church. I understand they still shopping around, trying to find out exactly what to do. Well, I know this. His life and my life, your life in God's hands. What do you do when you have a trial and your ordeal? My first response is always to pray. The second is to say. Y'all going through a lot. You're praying for your pastor that you love. But think of Paul and Silas. They'd been beaten within an inch of their life, thrown into a dark, dungy prison, had their self put in stocks and chains. And what were they doing in the middle of the night? They were singing. My wife, we came here, she said, it's already dark. I said, well, it's nighttime. Well, it shouldn't be. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what you think about it and I think about it. We got to deal with what is. Amen? I turned on the headlights. Don't curse the darkness. Turn on the light. If we have any other requests or things that need to be shared before we close in prayer? Do we close with a song or just close in prayer? Huh? Oh, okay, well, come on up here. Say, I've only been out this about 50 years. I don't know how it works. An invitation.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.